I was arrested because of rape, and I didn't do it intentionally. I didn't know the actual age of a girl, and we had conversation. I asked her about the age, and she told me that she's 18 years of age. We had sexual intercourse there in the street.
Wait, in the street?
Yeah, we were heading home. Then we met with her mom. Her mom concluded that we had sex. Then the mother told me that I should marry a child.
Hey!
I didn't hide anything because of I knew that I didn't rape.
You both wanted to.
Yeah, we both
you
wanted
both
to
consented.
Do. Yeah. Okay. And she some of the things she took lead. The mother agreed to drop the case, but the captain said no.
The captain at the police station?
Yeah, said no. If you drop the case, I'm gonna take it national. I went to that office and the detective immediately said, you are under arrest.
Hola, Sen fam.
San Burani.
Wararapo. And welcome to yet another episode of I've Been Through the Most podcast right here on Sen Twins TV. And whether you're watching us on YouTube or listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, welcome. We're so happy you joined us today, and we sure hope you stay.
We definitely hope you stay, and we hope that you make it official by joining our family, the Sand Fam. And that's very easy, Millicent, because they simply have to click on the subscribe button. Yeah. We are on a quest, we are on a journey, and we are on a request for you to help us reach our target of 500k subscribers. Yeah. So it's very easy, it's absolutely free. I always say it, just show us some love. Do it right now, actually, before getting into the episode, because yeah, this is gonna be a good one. And make sure that you
give
share
it a thumbs up. Also,
give it a thumbs up,
click
right?
Like, just do it now, actually. One, okay. Two, three, like. Did you click that? Thank you.
One, two, three for the subscribe. One, two, three, subscribe.
You see?
Done. And just like that, you have, you know, given us hope to continue to do what we do and to bring you content each and every week. Today we get into another story. Somebody is sitting on the hot seat who has a powerful story, who has been through the most and has lived to share their story. Ntlantla, thank you for being here.
Thank you for your welcome, ma'am.
Yeah. I know that you've been through the most, and you're here to share your story. But first, can you give us a background introduction of who you are, where you grew up, you know, siblings, home, just the background of who you are?
My name is Nhlanhla. My nickname is Candyman. My surname is Malungani. I grew up in Klerksdorp, Northwest. I have my little brother, and my three little sisters are late.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh, okay. And you know,
how was your upbringing?
Yeah.
Upbringing. I was raised by my grandfather and my uncle. Okay, my mom raised me, but she's late too. Yeah, she's late. So my grandfather took over, raised me, my uncles raised me.
So you had nobody maternal raising you after
Where's your
mom
grandmother?
Had passed?
My grandmother is late too.
My mother's mom is late. Okay.
But yeah, I do have grandmothers, but I'm not close to them because of
Sure.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah,
yo,
jeez.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. So let's get into your story.
Let's let you tell your story from the beginning.
Okay. I was arrested because of rape. And I didn't do it intentionally. I didn't know the actual age of a girl. We met here in Johannesburg. I was new. I came here in Johannesburg last year, February. Then I met with the girl on March. Sorry. I met the girl on March. Then, yeah, love was in the air. And
so you guys were dating? It was like a relationship?
No, we were not dating.
Okay.
My uncle my uncle and my aunt were invited. So they came along with me. We went there and it was fun. It was a party. They were celebrating, I think, a baby shower. Yeah, my guardians were invited, so they came with me. So yeah, we were drinking. She was drinking too in front of her mom. It was fun. There is a point whereby we were outside now because of we were young, both of us, we were young.
How old were you?
I was 20 years. Turning 21. Then we went outside and we had conversation. I asked her about age, and she told me that she's 18 years of age. Then I believed her because of she was drinking in front of her mom.
Her mom, okay.
You understand? And yes, I was in love. Love was in the air. Love at first sight.
I was about to say, since you guys didn't date, it was love at first sight.
Then there was a point whereby she told me that she knows the shop that is open. Approximately, it was 9 o'clock at that time.
The evening.
Yeah.
Sure.
So we went there. There was no shop. On the road, down the road, we went there. We stood. I told her that I see no shop here. Then she told me that we are not here for your shop. Then she kissed me. I kissed back. We were kissing, 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 and she kneeled down and gave me a head. I don't know how. Maybe I should use a vulgar head.
Yeah.
She gave me a head. It was fun. It was nice, and we had sexual intercourse there, in the street.
Wait, in the street?
Yeah, we call it a quickie. Younger people like me do it in the street. We call it a quickie.
Sure. Okay.
So yeah.
I don't want to ask how, but because in the street, like you standing.
Yeah, we were standing in the street.
Oh. You not like sitting or lying down.
Yeah.
You're just standing.
Yeah, everything happened so fast.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Then we had sexual intercourse, then it was fun. We didn't do much. Then there was a point where we were heading home. Then we met with her mom. And she was so furious. She wanted to know where we are. You understand?
Because it's late at night.
Yeah, it's late.
Understandably so.
Yeah. It's late. So she was so furious and she wanted to know where you guys were. Yeah, so.
What time was it when you guys returned? Because you left around 9.
I think approximately to 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's to 10.
Okay.
Yeah. Then she shouted at us, "What happened here? What transpired? Why you were working with my child and stuff?" Shouting, beating us.
Both of you?
Yeah. We went home. My uncle was so flabbergasted. Because of her mom concluded that we had sex. That's
how?
It.
How?
I don't know. Maybe a parent when she sees a boy child and a girl child, both. Yeah, so she concluded that we had sex. So yeah, everybody in the house was flabbergasted, asking themselves how, when. We were drinking just now.
And you just met.
Yeah, we just met. So yeah, then the mother told me that I should marry a child.
Hey!
Yeah, I know you. It's shocking. Yeah, they told me that I should marry that child.
That same night?
That same night.
In her anger and anguish.
Yeah, in her anger and anguish. Everything. Like, she told me that I should marry her child because of they are Muslims. But, because I'm Muslims. They believe in Muslim.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So
now I should marry. I say I don't have money.
So okay, is she saying marry her because you slept with her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then me and my uncle, we went back where we stayed. For the next day, where everyone is calm, so that we can talk. But the furious brother was there early in the morning.
Who?
first brother, the girl's brother, was there.
Okay.
Early in the morning where we were staying. Yeah, he went there banging the doors of the flats, cracking the doors, wanting to kill me. Then we went down. He was calling for me, wanting to fight me.
Yeah, he's an older brother.
Yeah. Then I went downstairs. He slapped me, throwing me to the manicure. What is that thing?
That dresses the mannequin. Yeah.
Yeah, mannequin.
From where?
GP shop. Post office. I used to live here in GP post office. There's shops there. There's box and there's shops there.
Okay.
Yeah, you threw me there. You were so furious fighting me. My uncle decided that we should go to police station because of one of us will die here. So yeah, we went to police station. And I didn't hide anything because of I knew that I didn't rape the child. She wanted it. It happened.
You both wanted to.
Yeah, we both wanted to.
You both consented.
Yeah. Okay. And some of the things, she took lead. She seemed experienced and stuff. So, yeah. Then we went to...
So when you guys were going to the police station... Were you guys going there to open a case for the physical assault for you or to resolve the matter at hand?
To resolve the matter at hand.
And I think at this point you didn't even realize the severity of the case because you don't know her age yet. You assuming she's an adult.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So the mother and the girl opened the case.
You guys opened the case.
No, we didn't open. I didn't open the case.
Oh, you didn't open.
They went together.
You went together.
We went together.
With both the families.
Yeah, to resolve the matter.
To resolve the matter. Okay, I get it now.
So, yeah, the mother and the girl opened the case. Then, after that, I waited for the brother to come down. I approached the brother with the good man and said to him, you know, I'm new here. I have a month in Johannesburg. I come from Klerksdorp, Northwest. I'm new. So I met your sister. I didn't know her actual age. And some of the things she took lead. And you as a gen, you should understand that us as a gen, we are weak in some of the things. When the girl is taking the lead and when the girl is taking a lead, she's interested in you and stuff, and you are you drink alcohol, you become vulnerable, you understand?
Yeah.
So he understood, he as a gen, because now he calmed down.
So you guys are talking from man to man now?
Man to man.
Okay.
So he understood, then he went to his mom and said, Mom, let's stop the case. Okay, the mother agreed to drop the case, but the captain said no. The captain was female, by the way, said no.
The captain at the police station?
Yeah, said no. If you drop the case, I'm going to take it national.
Sure.
So I was so scared and say, why would the captain do this to me? I'm young. Okay, yes, this thing is a mistake.
But can you understand from her perspective?
Yeah,
as
I understand.
As a female, where she's coming from.
I understand.
Yes, especially because the case has just been opened and then they drop it. So there could be a lot of things that she's probably observing. It's okay, is she dropping it because she's scared? Is she dropping it because she lied? She's also trying to protect the victim at hand, right? So she's probably not even thinking for you as a man.
Yeah.
At this point, or being young, she's thinking about the case at hand is that a young lady says she's been raped, and that's what we're going with. Yeah. I'm just giving you a different perspective. Yeah.
So, okay. After that, the captain sent us to Brixton. We went to Brixton because of it transpired near Auckland Park or somewhere in Auckland Park. Then, we went to Brixton. They opened the case. I was not arrested immediately. They told me to go home. I went home. April passed. May, I got an interview in Mall of Africa, mm-hmm. Diesel. I passed an interview. They said I should come for a training.
Yeah.
Then
so you got the job.
I was so happy whereby finally I got the job. But something happened. My uncle called me.
Same day.
Mm. My uncle called me and said, police was here. Detective was here and said, we need to go to their offices in Braamfontein, I think.
Mm.
If we don't do so, they will detain.
Mm.
Okay. I said, maybe we're going to resolve this matter. We're going to just talk and see.
Mm.
Yeah.
This is 3 months after... about 2 months or so, yeah.
And your heart, what are you feeling then, like, receiving that call?
I didn't allow it to ruin my day.
Okay.
Just, but I was so curious, like, what will happen?
Mm.
Then, I went there in the flat, and my uncle explained everything, that we should go there, and I said, maybe they're going to resolve this matter. Maybe the case is going to be over, by the God's grace. Then the next day we went there in the morning. They questioned the child again and the mother. Then there was a point whereby I went to that office. I won't forget that day. I went to that office and the detective immediately said, Emona, you are under arrest. I thought he's joking.
So you had not spoken, no sitting down and like, well, you remember this case, this is what we're thinking of
outcome,
doing.
Everything.
No.
Okay.
The detective said, you are under arrest.
You didn't go to court. Is this the same detective?
No, the detective is from offices here.
So
I get it. The mother was complaining that I'm not arrested, they are not arresting me.
That's what I'm asking about court. So there was no court that happened and then there was a ruling. None of that happened.
Not yet.
It's coming, okay.
So, the detective told me that, Mona, you are under arrest. You have the right to remain silent, Then, I gave my statement because of I have nothing to hide. I remember whatever transpired.
Mm.
So, I gave the statement without a lawyer. Actually, I don't have a money for a lawyer.
Mm.
I use state lawyer.
Okay.
So, I went to Preston Police Station. My first time being arrested.
Mm.
Like, I couldn't believe. Thrown in the cell. Oh, the police just threw me in the cell. Then I see there's a lot of people in the cell, roaming around, wondering. So I asked myself, is where God want to put me? And I cried. Then the next day, I went to court. For so that they can open a court case, a docket and stuff. They told me come next week to validate your bail hearing. So I went to Sun City. devil's place, Sun City. At my 20s, going to Sun City, I never imagined to go there. I never imagined to be arrested. So
is this after court now?
It's after being in court the next day. After being in Preston, the next day.
Just to
appear on court so that they can know the actual person and give me the next court date so that I can apply
for bail. Okay. But in the meantime, you're still arrested.
Yeah, I'm arrested.
So they now moved you from the cell in the police station. They moved you to Sun City.
Sun City.
That's where all hell broke loose for you.
Yeah. I never thought it would reach that point whereby I would go to Sun City. But it happened. I went to Sun City and I couldn't believe.
Sure.
There is a lot of things that you see. from court. In court, there is a lot of fights. There is fast guns, Farados, 26. They are fighting in court in front of you. You are new here. You don't know anything about jail. You don't know anything about court.
Do you understand the lingo? Nothing. Yeah.
You see people fighting, stabbing each other in front of you. You are asking yourself, I'm going to devil's place. After court, I'm going to Sun City, whereby I'm going to witness them. Eventually.
You're going to live with them.
Yeah. So we went to Sun City in the truck. Even in the truck, there is fight. There is fights in the truck. They take each other's cell phones. I get cell phones. You go with them from court. Then you leave them you leave them at Sun City. Yeah. So they take each other's phones and stuff. Yeah. You see a lot of things. Some of them, they up things to put them on their stomach.
They were doing that in the van.
They were doing that in the van and in the court. So yeah. We arrived at Sun City, first time seeing Sun City. Then you see furious cops there, wardens, there's those ones who wear blacks. Who wear black, all black and mask. Asking myself, okay, I'm gonna survive here. I'm seeing serial killers. You don't need to ask. You see this person is a serial killer. You see a lot of prisoners, like, I'm gonna leave here. Then I just stood there. They are counting us. You can feel the spirit of jail. You know, I'm a first year. I have a gift from God. So some things I see them, I feel them. So you can feel the demonic spirit in that place. In Sun City, there is a lot of evil roaming around, evil spirits roaming around. There is a point where they are counting us. We are getting through the reception and stuff. We are waiting to the cells to be collected. Then we went to cells now. It's at night. I'm sleeping. I'm in a cell. I'm asking God, will you be with me, please?
Aww.
Like, I'm in trouble right now. Then I just slept. The next day I woke up. I changed a cell. They moved me to cell 4.
So at this point, you haven't made friends? Have you spoken to anyone?
No.
Has anyone bothered you? Has anybody threatened you? Nothing. So far, so good.
No, nothing so far because of we arrived there at night and some of them are tired, are sleeping. It's a admission cell. There is an admission cell.
Okay.
So some of them, they are not there about people because of they are trailing for 6 years. Eventually, people are trailing for 6 years. You are not sentenced yet, but you are trailing for 6 years.
On trial only?
On trial only.
Before your sentence?
Before your sentence. Okay. So, they are there. Then, I changed the cell the next day. I went to cell 4. That's when I communicated with people. That's when I saw Sfiso Mkhwanazi. The guy you see on the news, the guy you see on your phone, the guy you see on TikTok, YouTube, a serial rapist, a real rapist, someone who raped prostitutes and chopped their heads. Like you ask yourself, am I going to survive here?
You're in the same cell.
I'm in the same cell with him. He's a cell cleaner, by the way. They cell cleaners. They are bosses in the cell.
Clean, literally, like...
They make us clean.
Oh.
Yeah, they are practically the bosses of the cell. Approximately, they can be 4 or 5.
Okay.
So he's one of them, the cell cleaners, for some corners.
So how many people were in your cell, do you know?
That cell, it was for the newbies Cell 4, it was for the newbies. So approximately, it can be 45 in the cell.
Whew. Hectic, okay.
Yeah. If there's a lot of arrest, it can reach to 50. Some of them are sleeping on a carpet. If you don't buy blankets from the cell cleaners, you are not getting any bed.
How do you buy it?
In cell, their cell phones. I don't know if they're going to search, but sorry, guys. Mm-hmm. The incels, their cell phones.
Okay.
And if at home, they're supposed to send you money so that you can get a blanket. Mm. I guess you didn't come with the blanket.
Yeah.
They are sealing their blankets.
Inside.
They've been there for 6 years, 2 years. So they are holding a lot of blankets. So they want to sell them.
Okay.
When they sell them, they make money. Yeah, you are buying them with 250 plus there's 100 rand fee. So all in all is 350. They differ. But the maximum is 350. You pay for your blanket, then you get a bed. That's when you get a bed. If you don't put on a time, you are not getting any special treatment. Mm. If you are not getting any visit, you are not getting any special treatment. There is a lot of abuse in jail. Not physical abuse only, emotional abuse, mental abuse. Even wardens abuse us. They're supposed to guard us, but they are abusing us in jail. I spent 1 month and 10 days in jail in Sun City, but it felt like forever. Why? I was diagnosed with depression inside. Yes, I knew that I had depression because of my mom was abusive towards my father was abusive towards my mom. Mm. So yeah, so that's when I was diagnosed in jail that, guy, you have depression. So I took pills, Dopaquil, Cylif, just to sleep at night, but I couldn't sleep.
Still.
Because of I'm sharing cells with serial killers. Cold-hearted gangsters.
That alone is traumatic for you.
Yeah. They can, we can see it. Then they can tell you, I have 50 medals. Colors, guys, yo, the meta people. They can tell you that I have medals. They can tell you that some of the taxi drivers, taxi owners, pay them approximately 25,000 to just to take out the head. You are living with someone who's cultured, who has evil spirit, belt and stuff. You are living with that person.
Yes. Hey, so sleeping is like you sleep with one eye open.
Yeah, eventually there's bad spirits in the cell, in jail, all
yes.
in all. And there is no good hygiene. We sleep in the cell whereby there is no proper windows. There is sewage. There is a cell, there is a passage in the cell like this.
Mm.
There is sewage overflowing. Mm. And it gets through. You smell it. Mm. How can you sleep? So young people, it's not nice to be in jail.
Mm.
And pleasure can take you to jail.
Mm.
Pleasure can destroy you. Women are a weapon formed against us as men.
Mm-mm. No, your serious. Rephrase. not generalizing on women. You know, without generalizing, like, I understand what you're saying, but I just don't want us to say it in a way that, you know, you're generalizing that all women are a weapon. It's not like
not all women.
Yeah, because in the same breath, all men are a weapon. Do you know what I mean?
Well.
Because I have had a terrible experience with a man, you see. Nonetheless, so you are in this environment. What are you thinking? Do you know? I mean, are you thinking, have you accepted that you're a rapist, or you're still trying to process why you're there? Because you had a sexual encounter with someone that you consented with, you both consented to the act, and in some ways or the other, she was leading you. Like, what are you thinking at this point?
At this point, I was just thinking to kill myself, but there is a point whereby I kept on praying and I kept on believing that I'm not a rapist.
Mm.
The thing that transpired is a mistake. I didn't know the actual age of the child, of the girl. Yeah, I didn't know. And she liked me, I liked her. So eventually I didn't rape anyone, but the age is against me.
Mm. Mm. So yeah, it's so rape because of the age,
yes.
Not rape because you shouldn't force yourself okay. on yes. her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so did that sort of help you in court?
Yeah, it helped because of finally I'm acquitted.
Okay, so you went to court after the month that you were in prison, right?
Yeah, I was in jail for 1 month mm-hmm. and 10 yeah. days. I got bail.
Okay.
Bail of 3,000, then I was out. Then I trialed almost a year, trialing. Carry myself.
So what does it mean to trial? It means going for court.
Yeah, going to court.
But while you are on the outside. Yeah. Okay.
I was mm-hmm. coming here, comforting myself.
You were at a masterclass.
Yeah, not showing that I was arrested, smiling with people, engaging with people. I finally got one of the biggest actresses on my contact list. You understand?
Okay, Togo.
So, yeah, you know what? I'm a prayer warrior. Mm. I believe in prayer. Mm. So prayer saved me. Prayer was my pill.
Mm.
I quitted pills. When I got out of the jail, I didn't take any pills. And I almost died because of they were killing me inside. Like, you know, when you leave something without a doctor, they can damage you and stuff. So I almost died, but eventually I got better. I was fine. By the way, on August, I went to Potchefstroom event with my friends, so-called friends, actually. We were there celebrating that I'm out.
Yeah, so wait, sorry, let's just go to the case first before you get there. Mm-hmm. So then you finally go for your, I think, is it a final court appearance?
Final court appearance.
Yeah, where they make the judgment to decide whether or not... How did you end up free, basically? Tell us about that day. Was the lady there and the parents there? What did the judge say? What was the judgment for your case?
The judgment day was on the 14th of April. Mm. The girl was not there. The mother was there. Mm. Only the mother. My uncle was there.
Yeah.
Then, I stood there. I spoke my story the way it is.
Mm.
I didn't change anything. Even during cross examination, I didn't change anything. I just spoke the truth as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then afterwards, I stood there by the box waiting to be judged. It was painful knowing that I might get life sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I might be sentenced.
Because that's what you get for rape, eh?
Yeah, 25 years because of she's a minor. So I was supposed to get 25 years if I was sentenced. So it was painful standing there knowing that I might get 25 years looking at the judge.
You said your age was what?
15.
15, okay.
Mm.
So I was glancing at the reaction of the judge, wanting to know that, is she going to sentence me? Mm. Am I going to jail? By the grace of the Lord, by the grace of God, I didn't get sentenced. They saw a lot of loopholes because of the statement of the mother and the child and the girl didn't match. You understand? So they acquitted me and said, they don't see anything wrong, and I'm a free man. So that's when I knew that actually, God answered my prayers. Mm-hmm. I was praying every day, believing that one day God will rescue me.
Mm-hmm. And did you have a conversation with the mom on that day?
No, she just stared me and said, you are lucky. That's the word of hers.
But did you apologize to her?
I couldn't get a chance to apologize.
Mm.
You understand? She's furious. she doesn't want anything to do with you. Me.
Mm. Yeah, and I'm saying that because, I mean, I'm glad that the girl gave a fair statement as well, because I think that's what saved you, because that means on her statement, she also said what you said.
Yes.
Your statements were, you know, correlating that, okay, this was like this. Obviously, her as a mom of a 15-year-old, you can imagine her rage, right?
Yeah.
And I think even the day you are a parent, you'll also understand.
Yeah.
It will make sense.
Girl, I have a teenage daughter too.
Yeah.
You know, so, and you know, we're not judging you, but we're just trying to make you understand a perspective.
Yeah.
You understand that there's always different perspectives and people have a right to feel a certain way because of certain things, you know?
Even if the daughter can lead or can...
Yeah, even if consent, she lied about her age.
She's still 15.
She's young.
You see, so... Mm.
And a mom is her protector. So she has to be the protector through and through. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And I'm glad for you that it's... You were innocent in this case because you truly did not know, and you thought these were both adults.
But what lesson did you learn from that? Because I think that's important.
My phrase that I like to use is pleasure can take you to jail. So right now I'm careful. Whenever I'm going to groove, I know that, you know what, I didn't come for girls here. I was once a boy who competed. You know, as boys, we are competing. I slept with that girl, one night stand, and I hit and run. But my hit and run was what? A bad consequence. Mm. So, yeah, I learned that. Let me know someone first before we have sexual intercourse. You understand? Nowadays, girls, they don't tell you. You can use vulgar ways here?
No.
Mm-hmm. How can I? Okay, I know how to phrase it.
Yeah.
Some of girls, they are not telling you that they are selling. Okay. You understand? They are selling their body.
Mm-hmm.
Then you sleep with that girl. The next day, she wants a lot of money from you. Because of she saw you wearing Gistaro at Groove and stuff, she thinks you have money. Then in the morning, you don't have money. You only have 200 for her to Uber to go back home.
Mm.
But she eventually won 5,000 from you. So guys out there, be careful.
Stay away from girls.
Don't stay away from girls. No, not practically stay away from girls.
Yeah, but I mean...
But find someone.
Yeah,
pray for someone. Like, pray for a good girlfriend. Someone who's gonna be your like mother of your children, and someone you're gonna marry, someone who's gonna respect you. Now we are dating to marry. This month on the 22nd, I'm turning 22. I should know that I'm dating to marry. I'm not dating for pleasure.
You're still I learned so something. Young, wow.
Yeah. You were married at the age of 22, girl.
Yeah.
Oh, but I get from a guy's perspective.
From a guy's perspective, like a lot of women can get married young, but with men, they get married like late 20s, 30s.
Mm.
And I hear what you're saying. And you know, you did say that you're a believer, right? Mm. And then, you know, a lot of things come with, I'll call it intercourse. Babies, sicknesses, pregnant, like a lot of things, right?
Yes.
And of course, also what you went through. Like, you get why God was trying to protect us from this one thing, because so much comes with it, you know? And I mean, I don't want to come to you from a place of judgment, but I really hope that you've learned a lot from the experience that you've been through. And that you just sitting here and speaking out, it's going to help a lot of young people as well. I won't say young men, because it's both women and men that can learn, right? Young ladies and young gents to be more aware, to be careful, to, you know, because...
Responsible.
It can literally happen to anybody. It's probably happening to somebody right now. You know, you're not the first one, you're not the last one, you know. And a lot of men, we used to do a lot of prison ministry, and a lot of men used to tell us, I am here, I'm wrongly accused of rape. I'm wrongly accused of rape. I was in a relationship with this person, or I was married to this person, or, you know, it's these stories that you hear, but it's a pattern that at some point it needs to stop. You know, so if you guys can do something from your end to help it stop, then do it, because we don't want to see you not having a future, right? You're a very talented young man, very ambitious, you know, creative, talented, and, you know, coming from your background, we can relate a lot, you know? You have to fend for yourself when you don't have both parents, especially. Life is twice as hard as your normal person. Do you know what I mean? Like, you constantly hustling to get where you need to be. And then there's the pressure of just being a young gentleman, you know, just living out there. And there's just that pressure to also just, be responsible. Okay.
Yeah. Any last remarks from your story?
I wanted to elaborate more about the groove part.
Yes. Go ahead.
There was a point whereby I went to an event. I went there to just celebrate, just say thank you for myself. Then I went with my friends. Then we went there. It was fun drinking. There was a point whereby, okay, there was girls. My other friend told me that I'm a pedophile.
What? Pedophile?
Yeah.
Phew.
Like, I just got out of the jail. My friend is telling me that I'm a pedophile. I'm a rapist.
Yo.
Like, I couldn't know how to react. Yeah. I couldn't know how to react to these girls, yeah. And girls distance themselves from me. Some of the people in the society charged me. Yes. My family didn't support me. The only person who supported me is my uncle, my younger brother, only. Some people, my family has cars. They didn't pitch or come to my bell hearing or come to my court appearances.
Or visits.
No, none of them came. So right now, there is a family that took me and gave me comfort. You understand? I'm living with family. They are not my family by blood, but a mother is a prophetess. She gave me a home, living with me. Keeping me with God, and like she's teaching me how to receive the Holy Spirit inside of me. Understand? So my family, they are so distanced from me. So even my friends, I was so surprised that day. Like, I don't want to lie, I was so hurt. My night was ruined because of that. Someone calling you a pedophile in front of girls. Girls couldn't feel safe now. They distanced themselves from me. Like, I felt like I'm a monster right now. Understand? Like, I couldn't bear with it. Like, just I just wanted to leave, but I couldn't leave.
Hey. But maybe that had to happen so that you can see who your true friends are, you know, and maybe God wanted a fresh start for you, you know, for you to get new friends, people who will see you in new eyes. Do you know what I mean? Look, we all have a past, and the biggest lesson is for us to learn from those experiences and really make intentional decisions and choices to make ourselves better. And right now, it's you and God. You know, and God has sent you, you know, this powerful woman of God who's really opened up her arms. God bless her. And now it's on you to take your life and make something out of yourself. It's not the end. This is only the beginning. And your story is your anchor. Your story is your stepping stone. You know, and I'm so glad that you came to share it so that you can bring courage, so that you can educate, so that you can bring awareness to the youngsters out there. Because what's fun about sharing such a moment, you know, that can cause people to laugh at you or cause people to remind you of your past, to judge you, but it's all because you are selfless. You just, you don't want other people to go through what you have gone through. And that's a powerful thing. Yeah. I also commend that about you, and I pray that God may increase your territory. I pray that He may create opportunities for you and you may follow all your heart's desire, your dreams, your passions. You must go to school. You must work hard. Make a name for yourself. Change this situation around, you know, and let God have the final say. So, yeah, all the best, Nkanta.
Thank you, ma'am.
All the best.
So what's next for you? Because obviously you attended the masterclass that we hosted. So what's next for you? Are you looking at being in the industry? What do you want to do?
I once told Mastoko, I want to be in the industry of acting.
Yes.
But I currently don't have agent. And I don't know how to look for an agent. I'm just a freelance. Even extras, I can do them.
Okay.
Maybe if, yeah, they come out and stuff. But my passion is in television because of I'm an outspoken person.
Yeah.
I'm not shy over the cameras. I know how to express my feelings.
Yes.
I have different characters and acting demand in different characters.
Of course.
Love it. She's going to let you know when there's auditions.
And also, will that chat?
Yeah, there was a story in Skim Sam about Toby.
Yeah.
You know, I used to stress.
Oh, yes, because, I don't want to get into it, but you know, Tobias was arrested.
Yeah.
Very similar story.
Yeah, I used to stress watching Skim Sam. Wow. Damn, I'm going to be. Oh, sorry. I used to stress and say, I'm going to be arrested. Yeah. When I heard Tobias being sentenced, I said, I'm gonna be sentenced.
Oh my God, it's the exact storyline. Thank you for bringing that up because that's what happened to Tobias and Zwaki. And scary, but
amazing. And I wish you all the best with that. I really do wish you all the best with that. We'll also send you numbers of a few agents that you can contact. So contact them, go to auditions. And we wish you nothing but the best. Well, thank you so much for watching. We've come to the end of the show. Do you like Wise? Give this episode a huge thumbs up. Make sure you comment down below. And if you haven't yet subscribed, please do subscribe. Don't skip the ads and come back next week, same time, same place, for another incredible story.
For myself, Innocent.
And myself, Millicent.
And our lovely guest, Nkanta. And our incredible team will make it all happen. It is bye for now.
I've been through the most, been through the most.